A young mother lay on a ship's bunk telling bedtime stories to her children, one on either side, waiting for the water to rise. The children were not afraid, knowing they were surrounded by their mother's love. She was courageous and peaceful. You may remember this beautiful and heartbreaking scene from the movie Titanic. I don't know if it is historical. If it isn't, I know there are many other stories that are, where a mother summons the courage and faith to face even death with grace and peace, thinking only of her children. Beloved, this is what we want to offer you and your children and your children's children, even to those that are far off. We want to offer you the faith to face life's troubles, even death, with courage and peace. We want to offer you the assurance God will stand with you through the darkest season of your life. We want to offer you the hope. There is nothing in this world or the next that will ever separate you from the love of God. Now hear this with as much love as I can offer. We can't offer you and your children such a faith filled with courage, hope, and peace on 35 minutes. Maybe an hour, a month. Here is what we know. Across America, once a month is becoming the standard for regular church attendance. In a congregation such as ours, without a designated hour for Christian nurture, that gives us about 35 minutes a month with many of the children who leave our worship service for the worship center or Sunday school. Yes, we do have a good core of families who are here more than once a month. Some even make a commitment to being here on Wednesdays. We even have some who've had a change of heart. Not only are we seeing them more often on Sunday mornings, but we're seeing them on Ash Wednesday, Maundy Thursday, even Good Friday. This is making a difference in their children's faith. And this difference is what we would like every family to experience. Friends, we know, for it has been going on for generations, sporadic worship attendance leads to no worship attendance. Most children who are not regularly in worship from an early age, being taught how to worship by their parents or their grandparents or some kind lady or gentleman sitting next to them in the pew. Most children who are not regularly in worship will not be in worship as adults. You may have heard this story before. As a child, probably 3 to 5 years old, I would worship with my mother and my grandparents. Miss Cox and Miss Corbin, two kindly Victorian ladies, did not scowl or mutter or look cross at my family when I was fidgety. They knew it wasn't easy to sit through one of the Reverend MacArthur's 45-minute sermons. Yeah, 45 minutes. So instead of disapproving glances, Miss Cox taught me how to draw birds. Miss Corbin gave me a nickel if I was good. Yeah, I've been getting paid to be in worship for a long time now. Now, I can't draw a bird to save my life. And I surely didn't get rich off those nickels. But I did learn how to love worship. Carrie, Melissa, Jose, and I know it isn't easy to sit with your children in worship, let alone teach them how to worship. Now, not that they aren't great children. They are. But worship as part of a faith community is an art which must be learned to be loved. Carrie, Melissa, Jose, and I know it isn't easy. Frankly, you may have questions yourselves about all this. But we are here to help you learn to love worship so you can teach your children to love worship. We've been there. So just ask. And ask Margie the story about her brother and her dad. Like singing or dancing or drawing or drama or sports, we all have some capacity to worship. Joy and praise, grief and thanksgiving come to us all. But like those other gifts of song and dance, drawing and drama or sports, if we're to grow in our love for worship, we must be taught and we must practice our art. Don't get me wrong. The prayerful cries of a widow alone in her room are as precious to God's ears as anything we could offer in this sanctuary. We're not trying to create virtuosos of worship. But the courage and faith of a mother to face even death with grace and peace, thinking only of her children, does not come naturally. Such faith is a gift of God's grace that must be nurtured through faithful worship. Friends, our faith begins and ends with God. In his last hours with his closest friends, preparing them for the inevitable, Jesus says to them, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. God is with you." Jesus is speaking specifically of the events to come. Judas's betrayal, his arrest in the garden, Peter's denial, his trial before Pilate, his crucifixion, his death. The hours to come are the most troubling they will have ever faced. Like the mother on the Titanic, there is nothing they can do to change their destiny. All they can determine is how they will respond. Jesus encourages them to respond with courage and with faith. "Do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me." Why? What do we gain by believing in Jesus? Is not our belief in God enough? Frankly, for Christians, no. Our belief in the existence of God, our assent to church doctrine, means precious little without a relationship with God. This is what Jesus offers. We were created to love God. Worship is the most important act we can offer with our lives. We can't be in a relationship with a thesis. We can't offer our love to church doctrine. If we are to fulfill our purpose in life, we must share our love. We must be in a relationship with our living God. Jesus assures us we can have a relationship. A personal relationship with God through him. Jesus has such a relationship. Jesus speaks of God as Father. If this word troubles you, find another. Mother, beloved, just don't miss what Jesus is saying. He is in an intimate relationship with God, one of the deepest, most profound relationships we can have, parent and child. Jesus tells us, as he tells his disciples, you can have this relationship too. You can know the living God as intimately as I do. In my Father's house, there are many dwelling places. If it were not so, would I have told you I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself so that where I am, there you may be also. Now, John's style is a little esoteric, but the meaning of Jesus' words is clear. Jesus' departure, his death, his resurrection and ascension are creating new opportunities, new possibilities for us to be in an intimate relationship with God. Jesus will be with God, and through Jesus, so will we. For Jesus has created a place for us. In fact, there are many places for us to dwell in God's house, many mansions, as we used to say. A point to make here is Jesus isn't just talking about life after death. His Father's house encompasses all of life. Jesus washed his disciples' feet, the first act of hospitality offered when a guest enters your home. He continues this theme of hospitality in speaking of the places he has prepared for us in his Father's house, in this life and the next. Friends, John's entire gospel is about God's decision to dwell with us in Jesus Christ. What we hear this morning is even death will not destroy our relationship with God. Thomas and Philip, and presumably the others, all have questions. Lord, we do not know where you're going. How can we know the way? Lord, show us the Father, and we will be satisfied. Friends, I don't know how he does it. Had they come at me with those questions, I think I would have thrown up my hands and said, you guys are on your own. But Jesus didn't. In the most Jesus way possible, he said, guys, this is what I've been doing for the past 3 years, showing you the Father. Remember what I've been trying to teach you. If you can't remember what I've said, remember what I've done. The people who were fed, the people who were healed, the hope we brought to those who had no hope, the love we shared with those who believed they were unworthy to be loved, the place we made at our table and in our lives for those who had no place. Guys, this is the Father. Now go into the world and do greater things than these, because I am with you. People just want to feel. This was the observation made by one of our members as we discussed our worship. Her words echo the lament of R.R. Reno in his book, In the Ruins of the Church, Sustaining Faith in an Age of Diminished Christianity. Exploring the impact of modernity, specifically the cultural distrust of organized religion, Reno calls us back to our ancient understanding of Scripture, not as a moral absolute or political litmus test, but as a revelation of God's love, offering ever new possibilities for spiritual renewal. But what does it mean to feel or be renewed by worship? Many of us look to the worship experience, the words, the music, the style. Sometimes they move us deeply. Sometimes they are dry as dust. So we head off on the fool's quest to create meaningful worship, thinking we can create meaningful worship by choosing the right words, music, and style. Friends, there's nothing wrong with being moved by such things. When it happens, give thanks to God. But hymns, sermons, and prayers, they are not our worship. They are the script. Our worship is the offering of our lives and faith to God through Jesus Christ. Our worship becomes meaningful and life-changing, not through the script, but when we are led by the love of Jesus Christ to deeper relationships with God, to deeper relationships with family and friends, to deeper relationships with our sisters and brothers in the pews, to deeper relationships to strangers on the street. Beloved, if you want to find meaning in worship, if you want to feel, if your spirit craves to be renewed, if you want worship to be life-changing, regardless of the Sunday morning script, if you want a courageous faith that will bring you a peace which passes all understanding, even in the face of death, look to Jesus Christ. Because Christ has prepared a place for you in the presence of God, the possibilities for worship are endless. By the way, in the spirit of Mother's Day, whether you are their parent or not, teaching our children, the children of this church, teaching our children to worship just may be the greatest act of worship you will offer. Thanks be to God.